Okay. And I have a super simple agenda. As I'd mentioned, I'm taking a kind of a 2 week or so break on the spec. I just letting it settle, letting it people use it. I think front matter needs some work, but I've had a handful of other things on my calendar. This week, I'm remotely attending a conference in Germany on autonomous agents.
And, oh, this week?
Yeah, that's this week. So they have a session going on right now. I'm not attending. But I did a presentation, if we have some time, I'll show you parts of it, which was about a maze agent that, you know, runs around a maze. And I used Alps to do the description for the semantics, and it did generate some interest. So that was kind of fun this week. And then I thought we could talk a little bit about tools or anything else on the, you know, specification front that you guys want to offer. And that's all I have. So we can just kind of take it from there. I don't know if anybody has anything they want to say on the specification itself or around it. Any comments, questions, things we should consider?
No.
Yeah. As I said, I think the front section needs rewriting. The motivation and the simple examples are out of sync with use. But I think right now the specification seems pretty stable. I did find, actually, I should mention this. Well, we'll mention it in tools. I found another person who's created a tool using Alps, and they had a rather nice use of the extension, which I'll show in the tool section later. I don't even remember the name of that tool. I have to go find it. So that's it for me. You want to talk about tools? Any status on the state diagramming?
Oh, yeah, but yeah, there's a little about the ASD.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the tag is supported.
Yes, I saw, yeah.
Yeah, and the happy news is contributing is continuous. So this is not implemented from me.
Oh, okay,
Yeah, I had a contributor, so that's great. Yeah,
it's very good.
Yeah, so he also implemented that on the coloring, the filters.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I tried to use filters this, like on Monday, and I don't think I could get it to work. I thought I had done an update. I may need to do another update. If really? I have some trouble, I'll go ahead and file an item.
Yeah, please.
I might not be using it correctly, so I might just need a little bit of help. But
I confirmed it worked.
What's that?
I confirmed it worked.
Okay. All right. I probably just need to update again. I thought I had done an update and I was in a hurry, and so I skipped it, but definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's cool that it's a contribution from somebody else too.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. You're doing a great job. All right.
So that's it.
That's it.
Tag is supported.
That's
yeah, that is very, very good. So tag. So we can see the tag page and the tag linked to the tag. So it's really nice to
see. Yeah, so now this goes back to what we talked about before. Yeah. So do you create a document to define the tag? You know, how Leonard and I talked about no magic strings, right? This idea that we have to document whatever is being used. So when tags appear, they're just really just internal strings, right? There's no additional sort of linkage to a set of tags or anything like that, is there?
No, there's a custom tag page, but there's no custom tag doc page, not yet.
Okay, no worries. Once I get it working, I'll figure it out, and I might ask you some questions.
Yeah,
but I love it, cool.
Yeah, I'm sure you like it.
I'm sure I'll like it too. Philip, what's going on with you?
I'm sorry, there is no progress on my side.
It's fine, no worries. We're allowed to have a life, right? As I mentioned last week, I haven't made any changes to Unified. I'm just taking a break on the action there. And Stephen's not here to talk about Alps Rider. Let me see if I can find, I need to find my notes on this new tool. Just give me a second. It's never good when you, I reorganized my document files so they're easier to find things, which means I can't find anything because it's all reorganized. Let me see here. Give me a second. If I can't find it, I'll just send a note on the list. Might be in my Twitter feed. Well, I can't find it now. What they had done is they're creating some kind of diagramming, and they wanted to include or documentation, and they wanted to include method. So they actually used an extension to add HTTP methods to various descriptors, non-semantic descriptors, which I thought was a creative use of extension. If I find it, I'll post it, yeah, and I'll share it. Anyway, it was good to see somebody else is taking an interest in it. And it was kind of nice. It's kind of good to see. Okay. So if you like, I can show you a little bit of the presentation that I did this week that involved the Alps.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see if I can find my slides. Ah, yeah, okay. All right, let me get rid of this. Okay, over here. I'll go through some of this pretty quickly because it's not the Alps part that was sort of the focus of the talk, but the Alps was how I actually made it work. So my original talk was about creating autonomous agents on the web. So there's this group that does web agents and multiple agent systems and mirroring the physical world and all these things. And they're really getting interested in hypermedia these last couple of years. So that's how I got kind of pulled into it. So this was a talk about building a hypermedia agent. A lot of people, they don't use hypermedia messages as their way to talk to agents. So this is really just showing them how to do that. So I actually had a little bit of a fun thing in the beginning. This dates me, but there was this American show, this US show called The $6 Million Man. And it was about this person. It was actually based on a real life event in the 70s. A test pilot crashed and lost an eye and was badly injured. In this version of the story, he gets rebuilt as a sort of a robot, sort of a RoboCop kind of thing. But the line in the beginning was, we can rebuild and we have the technology. And my point was, we have all the technology we need to do a lot of very creative, independent, autonomous agents. We don't need brand new technologies. I'm giving this talk to a bunch of academics, and they all want to build brand new technologies. They have super complicated systems. Philip, you would recognize, there's a lot of RDF, RDFS, OWL, OIL, all these semantic web elements to it. And I was trying to convince them, you know, you don't need all that in order to do some cool stuff. But the thing I liked about the show was that it was sort of like the technology of the day. You get all the machine power, but also a human brain, which I think is a thing a lot of people forget. They want to create a robot that has no human interaction, but it doesn't always work. And I don't know if you know Peter Norvig. Do you know this name, Peter Norvig? So Peter Norvig is a big person in the AI space, and he works at Google. And Peter likes his outfits. This is definitely how he dresses all the time. If you just look online, his shirts are sort of crazy weird. But he's this AI person, and he helped Google implement a lot of AI. And he's sort of famous for, this is the Google spell check. This is the entire program for Google spell check. It's about 20 lines of Python code. This is a super simplified version of it. Let me do this. I'll make it a little bit bigger. But you can, I'll share the slides. It's literally a mathematical check for adjacency on words that it can't find. So if it does, if you misspell a word, it finds the words in its corpus that are the closest and says, you must mean this one instead. And the magical line in the whole bit is this line right, if I can get it right here, where he loads up all of the words in all of the Gutenberg text files, all the books that are in Gutenberg. So he gets basically, statistically, the most, and he counts up how many times a word exists. And the more times it exists, the more likely it is he knows it. So his entire spell checking is really just one algorithm which checks for adjacency to words. And his whole point was, you don't need massive technology to imitate computer, to imitate intelligence. You just need a good algorithm and a lot of data. That was his idea. Okay, so I'll move on. So he wrote this book called On Artificial Intelligence, which is now a classic kind of textbook. So all of the people looking at this slideshow know this book. You've heard of the Turing Challenge, right? Or the Turing Test. Turing actually meant it as an imitation game, like we're going to imitate a human. So that my talk was really about, we're not trying to be smart, we're just trying to imitate something that's smart. And we talked a little bit about autonomous agents. There are some theories about agents, about what they perceive, actions they take, goals they have in an environment. I won't go through this because it's kind of, you know, inside the ballpark kind of stuff. But it's actually how I ended up building my agent. And then there are agents that just react like a door opener, right? That's a robot. There are door openers that only open during certain times of day, like office hours. So they have a model first, so they react. And there are some things that are goal-based, like I need to get through a door, like a robot needs to, you know, find a doorway and go through it. Utility agents actually figure out a smart way to go through the door, like shorter distance, faster, safer. And then learning agents, I can find it here, are actually learn from each other, right? So there are different ways to think about intelligent agents. So the story that I built was this environment explorer for mazes. So you have a maze of an arbitrary size, right? And you want to travel through that maze. So this is one of the clients for a maze server. You just like walk through. If you do adventure games, it looks like this, right? You're in the laundry room. Where do you want to go next? What do you want to do next? Anybody ever play these kinds of adventure games?
Yeah.
So this is a, This is a super simple one, right? You can do about five or six different things. There's not a lot of variation here, but I wanted to write a robot that could do this, right? So it turns out this server just serves up a bunch of XML files that have links in them. And the link represents a doorway or a portal or the exit or the beginning or so on and so forth. So I use that to write a bot. I'll just go through this. You saw the image there. So we're going to write a goal-based bot that can go through doorways and knows how to turn and move and go forward. And we'll keep going until it escapes. So this follows details that people in artificial intelligence sort of know about the percepts and actions and so on and so forth. So I explained how to design that. And the first thing you need to do is you need to describe the space. Yeah. So I used ALPS to describe the space. So I introduced them. So I didn't use RDFS. I didn't use an OWL ontology. I just used ALPS. And I was explaining to them that when I created the ontology, when I created the vocabulary for the maze bot, there were only 12 things I had to teach the maze, teach the bot about mazes. I had to teach it about exits, and I had to teach it about going east and west and north and south and where it currently is and how to recognize the start. And then I had to teach it about three pieces of data, the rel, the title, and the href. And the, one of the points I made was, it turns out I need three times as many action elements in my ontology as I do data. The data is not important, the actions are important. And that's a big problem that a lot of semantic web people have. They focus, I think, too much on data and not enough on action. So that was sort of the message here. So I described what I needed, and there are some resources in the bottom. This would look familiar to you. And then I just, and I mentioned the spec, they could look at it. And then I showed them this.
Wow.
So I said, so this is the model. So robots have to have a model in their heads. And I said, this is the model. And it's not the model of one maze. It's the model of all two-dimensional mazes in this world. All right. So everything is here and that they need. So I said, I have to embody that model inside the code. It turns out embodying this model is really easy. You know, it's much more interesting looking at the diagram than looking at the code. And then I got a chance to talk to them about each element. The goal is the exit. The rest of the stuff is just how you get there, right? The collections of mazes, the single maze, the room in the maze, and then the exit in some room, right? So then I showed them this.
Oh.
So we have lots of documentation. Once we start using this particular technology, and then I showed him this.
Oh. Yeah,
the rest of it is all downhill. This is my entire code base. Uh-huh. So it's sort of like the Peter Norvig.
Yeah.
I don't need a lot of code. I didn't do it in 20 lines. This is more like about 30 lines.
Right.
But it's the whole embodiment of the model.
Uh-huh.
The entire system. And the magic is in this one little bit of code here, which has all the rules. So I try to find the exit. Like if I haven't found the exit, I make sure I've already started. If I start, if I can't start, I finally give up. If I've already started, I need to make my next move. And this is my set of rules. So that's the rule engine right there. I don't need all the Gutenberg. I just need a rule. This is a rule for two-dimensional mazes. It's a really common maze rule, which means always go, I think this is the right-handed rule. Like if you keep in a two-dimensional maze, if you keep sticking to the right-hand turns, eventually you'll get out. It's just an algorithmic pattern. There are lots of better algorithms, but this is one that works. So then I just ran the demo and that's it. It just got out of the maze, right? So that's really all there was. So the rest of it is all just wrap up. So what I was just really trying to tell them, this idea that what you really need to do is focus on describing the environment more than anything else. And this is a line of debate inside the autonomous community. Do you focus just on the agent? What does the agent interact with? How does an agent know how to interact? And so we were just focusing on the environment. Definitely got a little bit of feedback on the diagramming. Somebody mm-hmm. asked about that. They don't really like the ALPS format though, because they're very focused on JSON-LD and RDF and stuff like that. And that's fine. Within a day of me showing off the maze and I put it in a repo, someone rewrote it to all use Turtle RDF syntax instead. So I know at least I had got somebody interested. They said, oh, I can make this work in my language, which I thought was kind of cool. But I just wanted to share that with you guys because the tool, the diagramming tool was really important to the presentation and it really helped. It got people asking questions. So that was basically it. And there's a repo and that has the actual code. You could sort of create your own maze, create your own server and stuff like that. It's all written in Node. It's pretty easy. So that's it. That's what I did this week.
Wow. So Which day? Tuesday?
The presentation was on Tuesday. Yeah. Presentation was on Tuesday. And these next couple of days, there are these working groups trying to talk about, like, that they're going to produce a position paper. A lot of these conferences produce some kind of position paper at the end. I was an invited speaker, so I'm not really in their world, right? There are a bunch of PhDs. I'm not one of those people. But a lot of them quote some of my books on hypermedia clients and things like that. So that's why I was invited. I spoke to the same group 2 years ago, but it was a much more philosophical kind of talk. This one's a little bit more practical. So I enjoy it because I learn a lot and I get to sort of make connections, cross connections. What I found, what was fascinating to me is no one in their community has a really good solution for this, for actually producing diagramming. They have a lot of, because the other thing that I pointed out to them is this is not a flow diagram. This is not a what they call a plan. It isn't go from here to go from here, go from here. It's possibilities, which is very unusual for them. Mm. You know this web of things, WOT and thing description? They have a very different view of this right here. So in their world, it's all static. So if you come upon an object that has affordances, they list all of the affordances, whether they're valid or not, all the time.
I see.
So you have no context, right? You don't really know how many of them are false until you try them. Mm. So there's a big discussion about the idea of how you create diagrams. Their diagrams are very different. So anyway, that's what I was doing this week.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you for sharing.
Awesome. Yeah, pretty impressive. Is it possible to see the YouTube on your talk or what you talk?
So there's a Zoom file.
Right.
And I'm trying to get a copy of the file so that I can transcribe it. I don't know if it's actually open for anyone. Hold on a second. Let me see. Andre. Because I think they sent me a link to the file.
Maybe I should translate to Japanese for Japanese audience.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. Let me see if I got a link. Because I know I had it. I'll have to. Oh. I think I do. I may actually have a copy of the file. Let me see if I can find it. It's kind of boring for me to get your files. Download link. Let me see. I agree. Accept. Download. Yes. Okay. So I have a file. I will post it and then you can maybe take a look at it. I'll post that in the slides in a single location. It'll take me a minute to translate it from the Zoom file, but I'll do that. Yes.
So how many minutes did your talk?
30 minutes. It's pretty short. Yeah, it's 30 minutes. That's it. Yeah, that was all.
How many audience?
It's not very large, maybe about 50 people.
And it's large. We only speak.
That's right. We're only three. That's right. it was like one of these invited events. Actually, the original format is they invite you to a castle in Germany for a week, and you're kind of locked into this place out in the woods in the dark forest, and you can't do anything but talk to each other
in the forest.
Yeah. And you can't do anything but talk to each other. So you spend all day and you're supposed to produce this sort of paper at the end. But it's being done virtually this year, so it doesn't have quite the same feel to it. Well, I was really disappointed. I was kind of looking forward to a trip to the dark forest and to live in a castle for a week. But not safe. Maybe.
Those are cold.
Yes. Well, we were talking about that. It's pretty cold here too. So it's definitely below 0 Celsius here. maybe I got it got very cold at night. Let's see, to see, I got something like 10 below last night. 10 below Celsius, so like 9 degrees or something like that, 9 or 10 degrees. So it's pretty cold. We have about half a meter of snow. So anyway, it's been a really interesting week. I'm very lucky to be invited to be part of it, because again, they're all very, very above me in their stature. These people all have PhDs and published papers and all that kind of stuff. So it's a good experience. I'll post it. I need to check with them and make sure that I have permission. I think I should be fine because it's only me, right? Yeah. There's no Q&A. I don't think there's any introduction or anything. So it's just me. So it should be fine, but I'll check and make sure, because I want to be compliant with their rules. But I'm sure we could do it. And there'll be a transcription as well, I think.
Yeah.
And then that would be easier too.
Yeah, and could you give us the URL? It's for that event?
Yes. Dagstool. Here it is. I think this is it. Yes. I'm going to place it in the chat box here.
Oh, yeah.
And I can give you a pointer to the repo right now, too. That's a public repo. And
also, I say it again on the web. Which is your name?
And this repo has the slides and my code and a bunch of other things in it too, including the RDF server that somebody else built.
So. What do you say?
So the second link is the repo, and that includes the code as well as your Alps folder.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
And I just posted it up a couple days ago, updated it. So there isn't a readme there. I'll get a readme there, and then I'll point to the ASD, to Alps and ASD, and a couple other background. Yeah. Yeah.
So ASD took a crucial role for this presentation.
Yes, yes, it was essential. It was definitely essential. I was so happy. It's the first public presentation I've done with ASD as part of it. So I was very excited about this. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to use the color coding to tag the exit and a couple other things, but I just couldn't figure it out. I think I just need to run another composer update, and then I'll be all right. And maybe I'll update it. But I might do another version of this for a wider audience.
Yeah.
This was very geared toward the autonomous academic community.
Yeah, yeah.
But I might just talk more about hypermedia and robots and things like that. And a much
your home ground.
Yeah. So we'll see. Listen. That's it. That's what I got.
I see. Wow, pretty impressive. So ASD is mostly done. I mean, what I want to make it before in the first time, and in the originally, I mean, mostly. Maybe as a XML support, or pipe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's it, so not much. And also, the ASD as a service.
Yes, you talked about this. That would actually be very cool if I could go onto a web page, and you upload or paste my document.
Yeah, yeah, that's much easier.
That would be very, very cool. And then maybe it would give me a zip file or something that had the whole like folder. Mm-mm. That would be very, very cool.
Yeah, it would be nice. So, yeah. So the maybe basic function is just like posting the JSON. And then you can get like a diagram instantly, and then maybe the download link or something. Like
that. Yes. Yeah, yeah. So you get the diagram right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, have you been keeping up? I haven't used the real-time aspect of it. Is that still working well?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So another long-term strategy might be to do
Eclipse,
Eclipse plugin or something like that, or visual. They don't say, do they say Visual Studio? They don't say that. Code, right? Mm-hmm. Visual Code or something like that, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It'll be nice.
I mean, if you're looking for something to do, which not necessarily you are. You have many things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Many possibilities.
Many possibilities.
Exactly. Simple tool, but many possibilities.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also, I and my colleague are discussing about the format. SVG is wonderful.
Great. Yeah.
But if we can make it with like a more, how can I say, canvas? It's more like a dynamic?
You know, one of the output formats that might be interesting would be the a web sequence diagram format, right? You know this? Plant UML?
No.
You know that? So web sequence diagrams.com. Let me show you what I have. I have an account there, so you won't see the same thing if you load the page. But so there's this sort of super simple diagramming language. Here's the title. It's sort of, this one is a sequence. So yep. This moves from here to here. And then it renders in lots of possible ways. Right?
Yeah.
So there are some various flavors of this. This is a super simple, easy flavor, but there are sort of, I got it wrong, but there are all sorts of actor diagrams or class diagrams or things like that. And it's a pretty simple language and it's all text files.
Uh-huh.
So that might be another possibility in terms of an output format other than SVG or DOT.
All right.
And this format is supported by Visual Studio and Eclipse and the other things.
I see. Wow.
Yeah. The problem is this format is not an IETF format.
Uh-huh.
Which is kind of a drag because I wish it was. I don't know what my problem is here. Here we go. But it's a fairly rich language and it's fairly stable. It's a bit like Markdown. Everybody has a slightly different version of it. Mm-hmm. This is web sequence diagrams. There's a place called Plant UML. That does this as well. They're a little bit more aggressive, so they have a little bit more versions of it. It generates as PNGs and SVGs as well as just even sort of text file kind of thing. So anyway, if you're thinking of formats for output, there might be something there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The Plant UML site might actually be a little bit more descriptive of the background than the web sequence diagram one.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So they have lots of possible formats.
Mm. When I think about the SVG is and the canvas is like we can deal with the more interactivity.
Yeah.
So like a real time response or.
So here's another, this is like a totally different tool, and that is a visual tool to create the diagram, right? Rather than a diagram to create the visual. If I could go up here and I could draw, if I could draw boxes and lines and get prompted for metadata, you know, in a visual way, and then press a button and get the JSON Alps or get the XML Alps or get the YAML Alps. I think that's another interesting tool, but it's a completely different experience, right? So it's more of a visual experience, like a diagramming experience kind of thing. Somebody else is going to have to do that, I think. So are you thinking of doing something so that you can then like rearrange the canvas once it's generated?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking for the, like, maybe if I have a tools, the converter from the dot to the SVG, mm-hmm. or from dot to the canvas, it would be very nice because your down is a dot. Is dot is very good for the making a graph diagram. So.
Does anybody have that just as generic translator tools? That's interesting. So you wouldn't even necessarily need to have ASD know anything about these other formats if you could just translate the dot file, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So changing color or filtering could be a real time if we have a camera.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be nice.
Yeah, that would actually, real-time filtering would be very nice, right? You could just go up and type and just see if a change.
Yeah.
A bunch of stuff disappear or have a bunch of stuff turn into color. Or something,
just or the drag or.
Yeah. Yeah.
Possibility.
Yeah, that would actually be very cool. Very good. Yep.
But basic function, mostly done.
Yep. I know I'm definitely enjoying using it. Definitely. So I don't have anything else. I'm actually afraid to start anything right now. I'm just trying to get through the next couple of weeks. But I'm always open to ideas. I need to find the other person, the other tool that person showed me earlier this week. And I promise I will get that back to you. I just don't remember what it was. I think just don't remember what language it was or anything. I wonder if I can find it helps. It might have been in the Alps feed. Latest. Oh, here it is. Sammy Gadd. Let's see if I can find it. Here it is. It has to do with creating profiles. I just put the link in. For some framework called Chef. I don't know anything about the framework. But this is the, so this must be Ruby, I think. Mm-hmm. And he creates extensions to cover the method.
Mm.
Which I thought was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's somebody else who's, and they produces some documentation as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I invited him to come and visit the office hours, and he said maybe he will. He said he felt a bit intimidated. So I try to not pressure, but hopefully he'll stop by and show us what he has. It's something about Sinatra, I guess. The Sinatra framework, I think. So that's all I have, gentlemen. I don't know if we have anything else. As we say in America, I yield the balance of my time. Maybe we now all have 15 minutes of unscheduled time to relax, go outside in the cold and stand around.
presentation is really impressive. It's quite impressive. And
you know, I also have imposter syndrome about those presentations, about, because when I'm dealing with people who are super smart, like those, you know, academic types, right? So I appreciate you saying that. I appreciate that. Thank you.
No, also not. It's not. It's not only interesting. It's, I feel like we have more possibility. So yeah, we can advertise on the, how can I say, we can tell the more people, not only the Hypermedia API. So yeah, like I told you before, maybe for the information architects as well, not only the so PhD those guys.
Yeah.
So that's more about diversity. Like you can talk to the more type of people.
That's a really good point. Expanding the audience. I'm probably going to write a cookbook on hypermedia services for the enterprise.
Yeah.
For O'Reilly. And if I do, then Alps will be like a key part of that project. Mm. But that won't happen until maybe end of this year. Mm. But more of that could still happen today, right? In just some writings and some blog posts and some other things. So. But making it tangible. So the question I would put to you, really, Akihito, is how are you using it? Like, is it making a difference for your organization, this Alps?
No, my company right now, so using, mm-hmm. starting using, but mm-hmm. I have a more experience with 2 years ago. So that was my project. So that time, it's not my project, just I advise to the people.
Sure.
And that guy contributed to the Arbus.
Oh, is that right from 2 years ago?
Yeah, no. Listen to a function like filtering.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Those functions were contributed in my company right now.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's current company. And 2 years ago, so in the startup, so that was I was a kind of like a leader. So I put the apps very, very center in the project for sharing and understanding. So share for you for the sharing understandings or mm-hmm. the world. So the project management, so, and it worked. That's what, then, so now I introduced some of the apps and kind of like that. So it's more introduction will be open to the later, so I think, yeah. And so those people are very have an interest about that, using the apps in the project. So.
Now, in the startup from 2 years ago, is that company still, are they still around?
No, it's finished. It's startup. But I know. So when I left that company, mm-hmm. the other guy mm-hmm. really loves that workflows.
Really?
So they don't abandon even I left. So that's great news. Yes.
That is actually, that was going to be my question, right? Does it die when you leave?
Yeah, yeah.
Is always the test, right?
Yeah.
I have lots of good ideas, and then when I leave, they're no longer used. So it happens. It happens many times.
It happens. Yeah. And then, so I want to say, Alps is not only one specification. Alps connected to the, how can I say, the documentation. Mm-hmm. I made the documentation tools, right? Mm-hmm. And also this Alps is very connected to the my framework.
Yeah.
So it's like a more, like, how can I say, system. It worked as a system, and the Alps was a core.
Did you create a framework, a service framework around Alps?
A web framework.
A web framework, yeah.
For long years, yes. And then I integrated some Alps functionality. For example, so if we define the document in the Alps, so mm-hmm. does this document also like a Java doc, like a PHP doc, with combined? And then, so if there's some description in the Alps, this has more priority. And then PHP doc, And then so and also the method signature. And then all combined, and also the JSON schema. So all combined. So then so output is like a one single output. So to have a integrated document. So
and it was sort of, we say in English, source of truth.
Okay. So there are many actors, like a programmer, front end, mm-hmm. the back end, or also the product owners, designers. So these people share their meaning or understanding. The source of truth is ARPUS, kind of like that. And then so from the source of truth, ARPUS, to we made a JSON schema, right?
Yeah.
From JSON schema, and then so we made some programming, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see. Yes, and I like this. I think I mentioned this before. I like this use of ALPS to generate other formats, like mm-hmm. JSON schema or Open API or something like that. Not ALPS to generate code, but ALPS to generate the other specifications that are already can generate code. I like this idea.
And the ARPS become like a dictionary, right?
Yeah.
So database engineer. So the naming, the column or table, so he takes from the ARPS, right? And yep. she is designer. And so the web designer also takes the wording from the ARPS. Mm-hmm. The programmer, the variables, the method name, and then mm-hmm. we take it from the, like, so in the very center. It's more sophistication, so it's all work around the flow, workflow, it's something like that. It works very, very well.
Did you get to the point of actually creating any kind of portal or registry or library of ALPS documents?
What do you mean?
Did you ever get to the point of creating an ALPS registry or ALPS portal where I could go look, how do I find my ALPS document? Which one? Is there a list? Did you ever build this? No?
No, I can't get it, sorry.
Okay, so I'm searching for ALPS document.
Right.
And there are where do I search? Where do I look? How do I know do we have an ALPS document already? Do I have to create a new one? Do I have to update? Where do you find this list of all your ALPS documents for your company? No?
No.
Okay. Because one of the other things that has come up in the discussions is, so you create an ALPS document and I create an ALPS document and Philip creates an ALPS document. And we put them all in a portal or we put them all in a website can find them, right? So now I have described the problem of credit card payments, or I've described content management, or I've described user management.
I see, yeah.
And even when you build your server and your clients, you can use the shared description for user management.
Mm.
And then I know when Philip builds a server for user management, the client that I built will work with his system because we're using the same ALPS document.
Right, right. No, yeah, use ARPS for one small team. So
okay, yep.
Like a cross-cutting, domain program. Yep. No.
Okay.
Well, it would be nice. It would be.
Yeah, it's a future. It's sort of a future idea. That's really what Mark Foster wanted to do with it. So Leonard and I originally designed the initial type, and Mark really wanted to focus on making that type more universal. Mark's company had lots and lots of ALPS documents.
Really?
Yeah. Again, it's a startup that's no longer in business. Maybe that's why. Okay, gentlemen, I need to go.
Yeah.
And do some other work. We'll do this again next week, right? So I posted Sammy Henningsen's stuff, and I posted the repo for my presentation. When I find the video, I'll let you know, Akito, okay?
Yeah, I'm really looking for it. Thank you very much.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So long.
Bye-bye. Good night. Thank you for a nice presentation.
That's very good.